Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
Type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed. Yo, we are back. It's your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam
at hey, man, this
on Twitter.
Hey, at slightly different B or at slightly diff B on Twitter. Hey man, this is the Listen Up Podcast, man. What's up, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. As y'all are coming in, man, we just want to say, if you have not hit that subscribe button, man, please hit that subscribe button. It's kind of funny, man. We keep looking at these numbers and we getting like, you know, 1600 views an episode, man. But the following count is around 850 something. So that means there's a lot of people listening and ain't hit the button yet, man. So definitely, man, make sure y'all hit that subscribe button, man, on the YouTube. If you're on Apple, man, hit the button on Apple. Like, make sure you subscribe to your favorite podcast, man, for real, for real.
What's going on, Brandon? What's going on with you?
Hey, man. You know, sleepy. You know how it is. You've been through the newborn stages, man. So at this point, you know, yeah, he up.
Congratulations on the new baby, man. Congratulations on that.
Man, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it for real, man. It's been fun. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Just kind of going through this process all over again. But I forgot. You know what I mean? As my last one was. Is 11 years old right now, so it's a big, you forget all the stuff you know what I mean, right. How it was in the beginning. So you know, going through it has been a challenge. I'll say that, man. You know, a lot of sleepless nights, but it's definitely been fun and rewarding, man.
Mom doing okay?
Mom's doing a whole lot better, man. It was a little, you know, we've had a tough pregnancy and after a post has also been a little tough, but mom is now doing great. Recovering well, everybody's home, everybody's doing good, man. So that's what's up.
That's amazing. That's awesome, man. It is kind of crazy when you have when my son was born, and you know, the first 3 days, you know, the doctors all be coming in there checking on the baby, right? And then you be like, all right, cool. Then they be like, all right, y'all can go now. You're like, whoa, you want me to just take the little baby home with me? Like, I ain't.
Yeah, no instructions? Yeah, yeah, you ain't getting, ain't coming no manual or nothing? You ain't got
to,
yeah.
Yeah, I got to take the little baby home? Like, this is going crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But nah, man, congratulations on that, man. I know since we've been gone, there's been a lot of FSU news, big time additions coming in today. Today we got, we've secured the big tight end that I was looking forward to. So I'm excited, man. How you feeling about the team so far? About what they
we
got
can't
going
even,
on?
We can't even get there, man. We got to get to your congratulations, man. Listen Up Pod mentioned in the Tampa Bay Times, but specifically, Sam, man, got a follow up article, man, to his fire Mike Novell space, man. They wanted to know if he still felt the same way. Basically, it was, are you keeping the same energy? Article.
and
Sam, man, congrats, man. That's really big. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. That's dope.
You know, it's crazy, dude. When he contacted me and asked me that I want to do it, I was like, man, do I really want to do another article about this? Because so much hatred, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? It'd be good to check in because maybe I can clarify some stuff. And I thought it was really good. I thought Matt did a pretty good job with it. Some stuff he actually left out, which I found interesting, but I thought he did a good job with it. I actually, it was pretty good, man. You know,
no, I actually read the whole thing, man. I thought it was good, man, for real. You know, it was, I think people don't really know where you stand in things, you know what I mean? So it was interesting to kind of see. A little bit on, all right, man. Sam just be doing this like for the jokes. Sam just be bored. Sam be bored at work and be like, all right, man, let me just tweet some, let me do some stuff.
Yeah.
Like they say, Sam was on his lunch break when that all started off, and it was like, well, all right, I guess we ain't here for the long haul. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was interesting, man. But you know, that was so spur of the moment. And I think, you know, it's crazy because I think it's like maybe like 50 to maybe 100 of us on FSU Twitter. that I think we get the joke most of the time when it's happening. We all right. kind of get the joke while it's happening. There's right. like another thousands that don't get the joke, and it makes them so mad. It makes them furious. So yeah. I thought that was kind of funny, you know.
No. They be mad. Yeah
they be mad.
Yeah, so. I told you a bunch of times. He'll call me and be like, boy, they mad about it? I'd be like, yeah. You getting lit up right now. But like, yeah, I don't know why them folks so mad. But yeah, man. Hey, man, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. But on the Florida State news, man, it's been a wild few weeks, man. You know what I mean? Like, the Florida victory kind of took us into a place, all right, well, offseason, let's see what happens in offseason. Then you hit the offseason, and it's like, all right, well, we're going to add Jaheim Bell.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I got a little behind the scenes on the Jaheim Bell thing. Because, you know, I had put the tweet out. I put the tweet out, what, a month before it happened? I think maybe a month before it happened. Mm-hmm. So I did have information that he was going to leave South Carolina. I knew he was leaving. I knew that FSU was a place that he wanted to look into. I did possibly put the bug in somebody that might be helping organize some of the behind the scene collectives on their new collectives. I might have had a few words with them to get their shit together.
Okay,
but we did discuss some stuff, and I felt like as long as FSU came up with the right type of package, there was a good chance that we was going to get Jaheim Bell.
So storming the field and recruiting.
Boy, yeah, I will say this though. With FSU, I know last year going into signing day, I know I called you and I sounded the alarm off. I was like, dude, this shit is not going to go the way we think it is. This shit is going to be bad. You know, blah 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 blah. And I remember putting it out there. I mean, you talked about it, but I will tell y'all going into this season with the new collective that they have now, Battles End, and the other collectives that we do have, the other two, I actually feel really good about what FSU is recruiting wise and going forward with the program. To be honest with you, and y'all know for. Since we started this podcast, I've been like, FSU behind the scenes is a fucking mess. It's no longer like that now. You know, I think everybody's on the same page and moving in the same direction. So, you know, I think this program can get back to probably competing for championships again, to be honest with you.
See, and that's a great place that they are at, right? Because at one point, man, it did look like no matter how many games we win, no matter how good we look, the proof of concept, we weren't getting them. But I think the way the college football landscape was changing, I think our behind the scenes still was slacking in some areas that required us to get some of these big time recruits.
Right.
Well, now you've seen, like you said, with Battling and others, we're now able to step into some of these living rooms and be able to talk the same talk that some of these other schools are talking. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, the piece that we were missing when we were talking about, well, can we recruit at a high level? Well, right. No, not when everybody else is playing. If everybody else playing, I'm playing Uno and you playing Skip-Bowl, we all these two different games, you know what I'm saying? And so that's right. What we were looking at a lot of times, where we were just playing a different game than what everybody else was playing. Well, now it looks like we are on the same footing.
Yeah.
And we're on the same place with other schools now that we've added some collectives and now we're able to add some money to it. So no, I'm feeling really good as well about the recruiting. You could tell just based on what's happened with the returning players. You know what I mean? You can see it then, right? Like, all right, it started, I guess, to take it back a little bit because we have been off a little bit. It started with just players returning. You know what I mean? Players who we didn't think had any shot of coming back. Players who, I mean, me and you talked about Jordan Travis coming back and we said, no, there's no way. I mean, he's probably done with school. We don't know.
Right. That was a part of having you behind the scenes together. You know, Jordan Travis is not going to come back if your behind the scenes wasn't where it needed to be for your collectives and everything. And I think the fact that now, you know, I don't, you know, this is going to come off negative, but I'm not trying to be negative, but, and I told you this, you know, a lot of these guys don't have NFL futures. You know what I'm saying? That's not negative.
They're
going to get a cup of coffee in the NFL. I'm not saying they won't go be on a team. I'm just saying they don't, you know, not a lot of LaMarcus Joyners, Jalen Ramsey's on the team, right? But see, those guys can still come back to college and lead this team and be a could put together a very competitive college football team that can probably, I mean, I think they should be odds on favorites to win the ACC next year, right? I don't think that's crazy at all. And if you can win the ACC, did that push you in the playoff conversation? And the person I talked to that might know something about the money people, the goal and the aim is to give Mike Norvell enough that we could be in the Final Four or be in the playoffs next year. So that's the goal. That's the push that you're seeing behind the scenes from FSU. You know, they want to compete for championships. And I don't think that was always the goal the last couple of years. You know what I'm saying? So we're in a great place.
I was gonna say you had so much, you know, like you said, influx behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You didn't have the talent level at quarterback or any other position. You had to, and again, we criticized Mike a little bit. I'm gonna give him some credit for kind of saying, all right, I'm gonna have to bridge the gap with a lot of these transfer players. I know these transfer players don't, you know what I mean? Y'all may not feel too highly about them, but I'm going to take some flights.
Right.
Let's hope they're paying out.
Right.
And then what happened was Trey Benson came along.
Right.
That panned out. Jordan Wilson, up and down, but I think you would say he's been more of a plus than a minus. That panned out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Defensively, you got Robinson and Verse. You know what I mean? Like, you've added pieces mm-hmm. in places where – all right, they all panned out. They all looked good. It all worked perfectly.
Right.
And so now that allowed you to kind of put together the season that you have. You know what I mean? And so now you're looking at 9 wins with a possible 10-win season.
Right.
Going into next season, you got Jordan Travis as a Heisman, you know what I mean, candidate. Right. I don't know if he's favorite, but he's a Heisman candidate, a potential.
Absolutely.
You got, like you said, I think the I don't really think the goal. I would think with this team that you field together, mm-hmm. I would think with – the schedule that's set up for next season,
right?
You should be favored to win the ACC. I think when they have ACC media days, I don't think there'll be a single soul who will pick anybody other than FSU. Maybe Clemson, you know right. what I mean? Maybe, but they'll be starting a new quarterback. We'll have to see how good he is. We've only had a small sample size of him. Like you said, I think to next season going in, I'm picking undefeated. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to look at the schedule and say, who should beat them? Florida's not going to be better. Miami's not going to be better. Clemson's probably, you know, a little close, but I'm still not sure if they're better. Right. So then you look around the schedule and you look around college football and you say, yeah, Florida State should be in the Final Four next year. Yeah. Well, if you're in the Final Four, you are competing for championships.
Yeah. And I think they're moving different, man. But let's get to the tight ends, man. I think these two tight ends that he got, Jaheim Bell and Murdoch.
And more like who just got a few minutes ago. Yep.
I thought that was the missing piece for Norvell in his offense the last 2 years. You know, his offense is based on them tight end. You've seen him kind of roll guys out there like Preston and the Rector kid and, you know, Cam. And those guys, I'm not saying they're bad football players. I'm just saying it's levels to this thing. And, you know, now that we got some good football players, we can speak honestly now, I guess, because before people get a little upset.
Listen, but, man, we appreciate what those guys did in the time.
Yeah. But
they've been recruited caliber. Over top of. Over top of. Man.
I think with Bell and Murlock, what they give you is, man, you can run those two tight end sets, and Bell can split outside a little bit. He could be a big target. It make your offense just that much versatile, man. You talking about putting those two tight ends on the field, and you throw Trey Benson in there. And any type of formation you run with that, I mean, you're going to kill it. I mean, you can run zone read. I mean, you can fake the zone read, these pop passes that Norvell love to run. And you basically guarantee yourself one-on-ones on the outside with Johnny Wilson and whoever else you got on the other outside. I mean, you're basically guaranteeing yourself one-on-one because those safeties have to come up and help guard those tight ends. And, you know, and I mean, it's just – this offense is going to be able to score 35 points, in my opinion, with ease, you know. With those tight ends, I don't see a way that they could be shut down against the ACC. Period.
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. These are good problems. Like you said, Mike Norvell's offense is built around tight ends and running backs. That's what you know what I mean. That's how he likes to run his offense. So now you've given him two, I'm gonna say, elite tight ends. Yeah. You got three elite running backs. You have an elite quarterback. Your offensive line is gonna be above average, I think we could say to probably
I think they're gonna have to still go in the portal and get, I think, one
they got tackle. One on campus, yeah, they got one on campus.
Well, they can get one tackle, which I would, like I said, package wise, FSU is going to be able to compete, offering pretty good packages to whatever player they want now. So, with that being said, I think you become a destination for you know at least serviceable good offensive tackles. So, you just need one. I think you just need one offensive tackle. Personally, I think you'll be all right with just one. I mean, if you can get two, but you know, they're in a great spot. FSU's in a great spot. I haven't said that in almost 6-7 years.
I've never been as high on Florida. Like the phone calls that I think I know you get and I get now are not the same phone calls. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was, man, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, what's the record? Shoot, I think I may have put it out before the season. I got maybe 6 wins, 7 wins at max. You know what I mean? Going into the season, I didn't see a lot of wins. I wasn't able to see a lot of, you know, potential. Well, now, with the emergence of Jordan Travis taking a huge step forward, which we asked him to do, with Trey Benson coming in and basically taking over the run back one spot, which we kind of saw in the offseason was going to happen.
Right.
You're looking at a loaded receiver group. You're looking at, the other team I missed on the schedule was LSU, but because they're going to be all right next year too. But with a loaded receiver room, a loaded running back room, because you're talking Winston Wright next year, you know, comes adds to that. You got Hakeem Williams in the recruiting, you know, like you're talking about an offense that is absolutely top to bottom loaded. You cannot find a weakness on offense.
Right.
And especially, like you said, if you're able to get a tackle in transfer in the portal, you're looking at an offense with zero weaknesses. That is a scary, 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 scary group, man. And so I'm looking at it and I'm saying, man, the sky literally is the limit. You know what I mean? And like you said, we ain't been able to say that about a Florida State team 14, 15, 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like around that, you know what I mean? Since Jimbo left, we haven't had a team where we thought, all right, they could compete for a playoff, they could compete for a championship.
And they could win a conference. I mean,
easily win it. And I think I won't say easily, because Clemson is still Clemson. But I can't say there was a time where I thought the talent disparity was real big with Clemson. Well, if you were going to beat Clemson, you had to play your best game in order to beat Clemson. I look at it now and I'm saying it's a little bit more even now. If not, maybe a slight advantage. You know what I mean? If I'm taking quarterbacks, I'm taking Jordan Travis.
Right.
I'm taking running backs, I'm taking Benson. You know what I mean? So now I'm looking at it, I'm saying it's not that they don't have the advantage player for player as they did previously. So now I can look around and say, all right, well, Florida State should be able to win that game next season.
Right.
That's a wonderful thing, man. And so again, if you're telling me they have already shown their top 10 offense, and this year they've actually, based on numbers, their top 10 defense.
Mm-hmm.
You saying they're going to be top five offense? If you feel a top 15 defense.
We'll get into the defense, but you know, you look at the adjusted numbers on FSU defense, it really wasn't that good once they adjusted those numbers for opponents. I still want to see them make some staff changes on the staff, 2-3 guys maybe, you know, to really get it.
They're just not going to do it, bro.
Well, no, that's not what I heard.
You sure? I'm just saying, I think with all of them.
I think you're going to get two or three staff changes. We'll see.
Actually, I'm going to be honest. I don't think I want them to. And that's a completely different thing. No, here's why. It is why. It is the only reason why. I do think there's something for continuity. I don't think them dudes all of a sudden learn how to coach. I don't believe Adam Fuller's an awesome defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a lot. You know what I mean? It's a lot of things I don't necessarily see. But listen.
Put your glasses back on. Let's get baby. No. Put your glasses back on.
Hey, that was wild. Shannon boys got so high at one point. I thought Shannon finna come across the table. I thought it was gonna get real on that.
He should have.
He absolutely should have too. Yeah, Skip would have had to get the man's that day. Definitely backstage. He would have been like, what's that North Carolina game where the dude was like, he talked about his wife.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he came back. It was one less man from on the podcast team. Yeah, it would have been like that. I'd have had to do the rest of that show by myself, but Skip would have been back on that show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But no, man, like, there is something to be said of continuity.
This
right?
Defense has to be better. You got to get better coach.
You got to be better. I agree.
You got to get better coach from the on the back end, especially with your cornerbacks. You got talent back there wasting, so you definitely need a new DB coach. But I think where they at offensively, I mean, this offense can be, I think Norvell putting up like 40 to 50 points when he was at Memphis with that offense. I think at worst case scenario, we're going to be in some shootouts because this offense is going to be able to go.
I honestly don't mind it. You know what I mean? Because again, I think if you tell us if who stop again, I mean, it's a scary thing to say, and I'm knock on wood. It's just hard to look at all the different players on both offense and on offense at every level and say who's you have an abundance of talent on offense. Like you literally have an abundance of talent on offense. Right. You got guys who are going to have to transfer out just because they may not see the field. You know what I mean? Like you're adding pieces. You got two freshman wide receivers who are very good. Very good to elite. Hakeem Williams just got bumped into a five-star. So you got a five-star wide receiver coming in, and he looks every bit of the truth.
Yeah.
But you got Winston Wright coming back next season, who is a very good receiver in all respects, who was injured all of last season, who I think, in my opinion, they redshirted almost. You know what I mean? Like, I know we good, but we're going to keep you out all season, get you 100% so you can come back next season strong. I think that was a plan from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's worked. He's happy as all get out. So now you're talking about Winston Wright. You still got Johnny Wilson. You still got Poitier. You still got McClain. Like, all these guys who have shown the ability to make plays when you needed to are now going to be back for another season in the same scheme, in the same offense, all knowing their skill set, also trusting your teammates. And that's why I say continuity from the coaching stand. If all the players are coming back, I don't think you can look at the coaches and say, yeah, but we're going to switch up on this defense coordinator. We're going to switch up on this.
I'm just saying.
That's the only reason why I think, for me, I think continuity is an important thing, because I think you got all the players who have said, we're buying in. We have bought into whatever y'all are selling. Cool. I don't think you could then say, yeah, y'all done bought into everything we're selling, but these dudes ain't gonna be around for to see the end result. I just don't know how they can do it. Now, will they or should they? That's a different story. I think they should. I just don't think they will.
I think it's coming. I think you're gonna see one or two moves. I really do. I don't think
I hope so.
Which I think would be a good thing. Probably need a couple new voices over there on the defense, to be honest with you.
Hey man, y'all leave Zay alone, man. I see y'all in the chat, man. Leave Zay alone. He an LSU fan. That's family, man. That's family. He just hit a support, man. He gonna rep his team like we rep ours, man. Y'all leave Zay alone.
But while y'all are here, make sure y'all hit the subscribe button.
Please Zay hit that subscribe button, man. Zay has hit the subscribe button because he was here when we got this. I know he don't hit the subscribe button, man. Y'all in this chat, and hit the like button.
Yeah, tap on the like, tap like a little bit. Anyway, where we at now? Okay, so I do think the offense is going to be elite, man. They do need to kind of get some defensive guys now. I think one, maybe two defensive backs, cornerbacks. You're going to need one cornerback, one safety, I think.
Safety, definitely.
Yeah, you need one cornerback, one safety. From my hearing, I'm pretty sure Akeem Dent is going to come back. So if you get Akeem Dent, Shaheen Brown, you still want to need one just in case for injury, because you want to raise your floor much as possible. Yep. Want to keep raising your floor up. So, I can see another 10 transfers coming in, and I think they're definitely going to push out. I think they've got the six now, so I think they're going to push out another six. So you have enough scholarships, and man, it's go time for 23 nose.
Think about that. I don't want to bring this up just from the dichotomy standpoint. Last year, this same day, we were doing the fire in Mike Novell space. Same as starting one. This season, we're talking about the same day, a year later, and we're talking about, you know, playoff push and the possible, you know, national championship. And possible, you know, playing for a national championship if everything goes their way. I think, man, you got to give hats off to what Mike has been able to do and just kind of getting those guys to believe in what he's selling. I didn't believe it. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I know Sam didn't really believe it either. You know what I mean? Because it was nothing really for us to kind of hang our hats on, right? There was nothing that we had seen in those first two seasons that said we're going to be good in year four. I mean, it just wasn't nothing. There was nothing we had seen in those first two that said it. There was coaching mistakes. There was recruiting woes. You were losing out on your top recruit in your class to Jackson State. it was a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes. The, mm-hmm. Like I said, behind the scenes were piss poor. You didn't have any money. You know what I mean? Bags weren't getting dropped. I mean, look at even Jaheim Bell, right? Jaheim Bell talked about his recruitment when he first, you know what I mean? The reason why he didn't come to Florida State at the very beginning was because he thought Florida State was heading in a direction he didn't want to go.
Right.
That was what he said. That, these are my words. That's him. So he said they weren't, but now he can look back and say 3 years later, oh, no, nah, I like where they headed.
Right.
I, you know what I mean? I like the direction they headed in. And that shows you really what this staff has been able to do, even against, you know what I mean, a lot of challenges and against with, you know, a quarterback who I don't think anybody thought he was going to be elite. But he's now in the elite category. He's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. That's not even, you can't argue that. I said right. at the beginning of the season, he was better than AR. Y'all, people yelled at me, called me silly and all sorts of stuff. He's better than AR. Mm-hmm. In college, anyway. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a shout out to Mike, man. That's all I'm going to say, shout out to Mike, because Mike has really, really, really shown his ability, man, to put together a good team. And that's what's up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what they're going to be in 23 is going to be special. And I actually expect one big flip on signing day, to be honest with you. I expect for us to lose one guy, and I expect for us to flip one guy. So it's my expectations going into signing day.
Hey, Blue Blaze said the defensive front needs more improvement.
That's true.
Like, okay, so I actually want to talk about that, right? I don't know if he's already signed or not, but I basically you bring back your entire defense line. Verse ain't just made a decision yet, but I think from where everything that most people are saying, it looks like Verse is probably going to come back. I don't know if you heard anything different, but it looks like he's going to come back.
We'll see.
Outside of depth, you pretty much, you got Verse, Peyton, you got Briggs and Lovett and Fabo. That's a strong front four. That's why I really didn't mention when you talked about transfers we need to bring in. I only thought about really showing up that back half of the defense, because I think if you are bringing back your entire D line, that just that group there, I'm not sure that's a, you know.
Well, okay. If you want to win the ACC, that group might get it done. Okay.
Very true. Very true. Right. But they also added Jackson. But you got Jackson as well from Miami now.
Okay, if you want to win the ACC, that group will get it done. But, I mean, if you're talking about winning a national championship, getting to the Final Four, competing for that championship, you're going to probably need, you know, one more Jarrett Verse, one more Fabian Lovett. You know, you're going to need another one of those type of guys. You know what I'm saying? Most good teams got two or three of those guys. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes they still lose to Michigan or Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? So – you know, so you got to get some of those guys. You know what I'm saying? They got to get some guys, you know.
1,000%. Yeah. I 1,000% agree with you. I'm just saying that unit, though, is a very good unit. Now, should you add Pete? Again, I am not – let me be very clear. I am not saying you should not add as many pieces. Stack the team. I mean, stack it. Everybody who wants to play for Florida State, defensive end, linebacker, DB, hell, if another wide receiver want to come in and he dope – man, just keep stacking talent. That's how, again, Georgia, Alabama, those teams stack talent. They got a five-star. When one five-star leaves to go take a break, another five-star rolls in right behind them. There is no break in talent. So, absolutely. If you can stack talent, man, by all means, stack talent. I think I'm talking from what they have presently on the roster. I think they have a good front four. Again, this is assuming the guys who we think coming back we'll come back. We'll see. We have no idea. But if they come back, come back. And if they don't, then hey, you definitely have to make some moves. But, you know, we'll see. I just want to talk about that for a second. Thanks, Blue Blaze.
Sorry about that.
You're good. I was going to say, so you asked, like, what else do we need, though? From the, like, again, looking at the team, I think there's a lot. Outside of DBs, I don't think there's a lot more needs on there. So it's really not even really what else do we really need? What else do we want? What do you think will take this team from, all right, they're going to win the ACC? We think they're going to probably win the ACC or be favorites. What takes them to, I can see them winning. I can see them competing with, you know, whoever's Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, you know, they're probably going to be in the mix. USC going to be in the mix next season. You know what I mean? Like, what takes us to that level to get us compete with those teams?
Offensive line. Defensive line.
True.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, offensive line, defensive line. That's basically what's going to take you to that level of actually winning a national championship. I think I put a tweet out earlier this week. I was like, how many NFL players do you actually need to actually win a national championship? Sure. I think the number might be around. I think what's his name? Last God of Krypton is his name on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I think he said 10 per recruiting class. And I actually kind of agree with that. He's trying to say that you have to have potential NFL guys behind the starters, basically. He's saying 10 per recruiting class. So if you bring in a class of 20, it should be 10 every class. And I actually kind of agree with that. Because if you look at the last 10 national champions, it's kind of been like that.
Well, that's what I was going to say, right? So I was trying to think of the team. That's what I was trying to think of the teams who are winning, who, you know, are in the Final Four this year. And all of them they probably got about 10. So then I guess when we look at our team, and so I'm looking at it from our perspective, right? How many NFL guys we got? 4, 5?
I think you...
6?
Well, I don't want to get into that conversation because all I want to do is win the conference. I'm all about winning the conference. That's I think you got enough to do that. Yeah, I think you got enough to do that. I think winning the conference should be the goal next year. I think anything above that is icing on the cake. I think if you make the playoffs, that'd be great.
See, I agree. Now, I 100% agree with that. I just think this conference is ass.
Yeah.
Winning this conference ain't no feather in the cap for me.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why I'm saying, and that's why, you know what I mean? That's why when you like, is winning the conference is the goal for me. Clemson has shown that they are not Clemson. I called the beginning of the season, Clemson was going to take a step back. You can't lose all those good coaches and still maintain that same level. And I think we saw a lot of Dabo being Dabo this season. A lot of poor QB play, which has been their problem for a long time. Guys a whole lot smarter than me keep analyzing their QB plays and how their QBs regress. We've seen it with Ugalele or Uangalele. We've seen it with him. I think we'll see it with this other dude too. Just because we also saw it with Trevor Lawrence, and I don't think this kid is Trevor Lawrence. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, all right, the goal is to win the conference. But that's bare minimum.
Yeah.
With the offense that they fielded. Man, winning the conference should be forget the goal. That's given. You know what I mean? Like this should be we're gonna win the conference. What next? Yeah, and that's how I'm hoping the team is looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they should. They looking at it like they can win the whole thing, which that's the way competitors supposed to look at it. But you know, for me, that take a step back and look at all that, I'm like. Win the conference. Just win the conference. I think that's the big deal. I think that's the prize, in my opinion. You win the conference, everything's worth it, and I think it prepares you forward to bring in like a top 6, top 8, top 10 recruiting class.
Whoa, you know? Wait a minute. Sam got the boys in the top 10 in recruiting?
Well,
top
I mean,
6?
With how they're, with what you would do the way you should be able to recruit this offseason.
We ain't got
And then you back that up with an ACC championship. I think you should be able to bring in a top 8 recruiting class.
I need somebody, listen, somebody write that timestamp down. We're going to bookmark that for a second because we need to, you know, we need to reference this in a couple of days when we go back and look at this because, man, I don't think – Sam ain't never predicted them to have top 10. So clearly,
I mean, they're more organized than they've been in the last four years.
They have. And I'm just I agree with them.
So that's why the whole
time
I've
always been a little higher.
Yeah, but every time people will say this stuff, oh, they're gonna do this in recruiting. We've done this like 2 years, 3 years, and I've been like, bro, it's not gonna happen. Like, what about behind the scenes? Are y'all not understanding? And I've been pretty consistent on that, you know, now that they do have their stuff together behind the scenes. I mean, yeah, I think they could bring in the top in the 24 class. I think they could bring in the top 8 class in the 24 class. I mean, the 23 class is going to be what it's going to be. I mean, maybe 14, maybe 15, you know, probably going to be the highest you touch. You know what I'm saying? That is what it is.
Even with the flip, you think going to happen?
Yeah, even with that flip. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would like to see them get a top 10 class. I just don't think they're in it for those type of kids yet.
No, and again, that's fair, right? They're not there yet. Again, I thought this season, I think, helped set them up for next season. And I think that's what you're saying, right? This season, in fixing their offseason issues and winning on the field, showing that you are now headed in the proper direction, you have a really good quarterback. You're showing that you can pull guys out of the transfer portal to fill out. I think you have a lot of positives. So I think next season, you can now step foot in some of these top guys' living rooms and not just be a waste of their time. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, all right, we're going to hear Florida State out because he came to my school.
Yeah,
I don't really care to hear from Florida State. But I think that changes next season, and that does allow you to get into the top 10, top 8 recruit next season, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I say, win the conference, and I think a lot of the stuff will take care of itself. So, you know, win the conference.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Miami is organized behind the scenes. I mean, they have their money
in line. Miami got the money. Yeah, I was going to say Miami got the money in line. Yeah.
Yeah, but that ain't nothing to poo-poo. That's a good thing.
It's exactly what you're supposed to do.
I mean, I don't know. Like, people keep saying, oh, don't know, only reason Miami getting these players because they got money. Well, okay, we need to have money too. What's the problem?
Now we do got money. You know what I mean? Now we got bread. Yeah. So now we're able to play in those same games.
I don't know why people get all, you know, I don't know. Man, Phantom is crazy. We was saying, all, you know, I ain't gonna get into all that because I'm gonna come back being negative again. But people say some dumb stuff sometimes. Like,
I love our fans.
Recruiting isn't a they got this, but they ain't this and they ain't that, man. Bring the players in, man. All that shit can figure itself out once the players get here. Like, all this, this ain't going that. Well, I'd much rather have the players in. I'd much rather have them on campus than not. Don't care how you get them there.
I don't even care if you can coach them.
Yeah, what your boy say? Money, clothes, and holes. It's all, no. Money, clothes, and holes. It's all I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we straight, man. We straight. We good.
Hey, man, it's up over here. Tell him we back up. Yeah. Tell him we back up, man. Yeah. What Stringer Bear told him? Hey, man, go out there and tell them boys we back up.
Yeah, let them know we back up. Yeah, so we good. So, let me see. We're going to touch on the bowl game real quick. How you feeling about the bowl game?
Should be a layup.
I think so, too. Should be a
layup. I mean, listen, they basically set Oklahoma up, basically. You know what I mean? Oklahoma has really struggled this season. They are missing, like, 8 starters, including the running back who went for, like, 1,400 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to see FSU in Oklahoma. They knew that. You know what I mean? They wanted to see those two brands put together. So they basically set Oklahoma up for the okie doke. And they're going to have to come take this ass whooping and go on up the road. Right. But I think this is a layup, in my opinion, which is great. This should get us to, you know what I mean? Which is great because it gets you to 10 wins, which is a lovely, it just looks good, you know what I mean, on the schedule.
Right.
It looks good when you can reference back and say, man, you put together a 10-win season. I think 10 wins is the mark of good teams.
Right.
You know what I mean? Good teams win 10 games. So I think you can definitely say, I think you can say, hey, Florida State was a good team this season. They're part of one of the good teams this season. I think you finish, you know what I mean, top 10, and you go on the next season, top 5. You know what I mean? With what they'll be bringing back, it all sets up perfectly. So I love the bowl game. I love it for the players. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Them
being able, like, I thought about it, right? What has it been? 3 years since these guys been to a bowl game?
2 years.
Two? Did they go Willie last year?
They went
Willie when Willie got fired. Yeah, so I mean, it's been 2 years, so it's a lot of guys on this team who have not been to a bowl game. You know what I mean? A lot of guys who, you know, don't know the experience. So the fact that they get a shop, they get a swag bag, they get to go to Orlando, you know, they're going to probably take them to Tampa and then let them ride some stuff at Busch Gardens. It's just a fun time for those guys, man. I really like it for the kids, you know, really not even – Oklahoma's just going to get, you know, Oklahoma going to get a dog. I mean, they're going to just probably, in my opinion, I think they'll get their ass whooped. But just because I think they're not, one, they weren't good, and two, they're missing too many players to compete.
Right.
Yeah. But I, yeah, so for me, I'm thinking, I'm looking at it more from a player standpoint. I think they're going to really enjoy it. And it looks good on that column to say, you know, Florida State went, you know, went 10 and something last, you know, yeah, last season.
Yeah, and beat Oklahoma. Yeah. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Teal Talk say, I don't care how bad Oklahoma is hurt. They make me cry. So many tears over the years. It's out of dishes. Hey, I'm with you, man. Yeah. Listen, when they said Oklahoma and they started announcing all them players, I'd normally be like, no, I want to see them at full strength. Nope. No, I didn't. I want to see us roll up 60 on Oklahoma in a bowl game on national TV. I want to see it. I don't care about listen, Oklahoma has done us wrong too many times. It is time for us to get some get back, and I'm with you, Tim.
Yeah, I'm going to get to some of these questions here. We got – yeah, I'm going to say this about the Bane situation. That kid was never coming here, but you do have to recruit the kids anyway. You know, what I mm-hmm. what I have been saying, happy birthday to everybody, probably not. That's not really who I am, but coaches do stuff that I, quite frankly, they get paid millions of dollars to do.
Bro, I hate it, bro.
I'm going to be honest with you. Go ahead. I'm going to let you go.
No.
I got to rant.
Okay, well, then let me mind off and then I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because mine ain't going to be nearly as bad. Dog, we got to stop this. Like, for me, it feels cringy, right? Like, I look at it and I say, the players know this is bullshit. Like, the mama know it's bullshit. The family know it's bullshit.
Yeah.
We all are seeing the same, like, nobody wants to do this.
All right.
Don't show up to my birthday party if you don't really want to be there. Like this it's silly to look at. I hate it, bro. Like when I tell you I hate it. I hate it. All these birthdays. I watched Nick Saban do the cha-cha slide, I think, at one family member house. Like these cats don't be one. Nick Saban got a lot of money, a lot of houses, and a lot of do not have time to be doing cha-cha slide. But Nick Saban and has won a lot of championships. And y'all got Nick Saban in y'all living room doing the cha-cha slide to get a player. It's why I would never be a college coach. No way on earth. Y'all be like, hey, you want to come cha-cha slide at my grandma's house for this recruit? Hell no, I ain't going to cha-cha slide at your grandma's house for this recruit. Like, bring back pride. Bring back pride, man. Bring back some goddamn pride.
I'm being honest with you, man. I really don't like where college football is right now. Like, I really – and I know this is going to sound like I'm a curmudgeon. Maybe I am a fucking curmudgeon, but God damn it.
You are.
I hate what college football is, dude. Like, we're going to have eventually fucking 10 football teams in the playoffs because 15 fan bases need to feel like they got a chance to win it all. When it's really going to boil down to, like, three teams. And that's just the way it's been. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. And I hate that part of it. Now we got everybody and their mama jumping in the portal every year, which I'm fine. Kids can go in the portal. I get it. You made a bad decision. You're in a coach left. You need to go in the portal. I get it. But, man, 1,000 kids is in a damn portal. 1,000 kids is in the portal. Joy Gatewood is on like his 2015. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. At some point, you just can't play. You just can't. It's not the situation. It's you. You can't play. When you get to your third, fourth, and 15, you can't play. You know what I'm saying? And it's like it's getting ridiculous. Some people are meant to just go to college. You got a free education, go to a college, go there, graduate, and be done. You shouldn't be. And now we got 26-year-olds going to be playing football next year. Some of those going to be on our team. But it's just all across college football is just, it's just so weird, man. It is such a weird place. Recruiting is fucking cringy as hell. You know, I mean, you got coaches, diabolical coaches, coaches that have had people killed on coaching staffs. It's just all this stuff is so cringy and just disgusting sometimes. And sometimes I just have to take a real break from it. College football is in a weird place, man. I wanted to find some type of consistency personally, but I just hate where it's at, to be honest with you.
Where I'll agree with you is the portal is crazy.
Dude, like all kids, crazy.
Kids are making up their decision. Like they going in the portal like 3-4 games in. Like, all right, you know what I mean? This didn't work out. I'm out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's no, he's called the college try. There is no even college try. It's like, yeah. I feel like coaches got to walk on eggshells in order to keep some of their players. You know what I mean?
I get the part of the way to keep a coach accountable is by having a portal. But then at the same time, you can't develop.
But we're not doing that no more.
But kids ain't even developing. Like, you just got, like, not, you know, people can say Texas A&M is disgusting or whatever, man. And Sam McCall wasn't with the program, whatever, man. But it's like, you know, like Buster Davis, when he was at FSU, he went home but had to come back. So he would have never been a great player had he not come back. And it's just like sometimes it's like nobody wants to do the hard thing. It ain't just the players though; it's the coaches too. Nobody wants to do the hard. Oh, I can't coach this kid. I'm kicking him off the team. I'm on a force him into the portal. Like, nobody want to do the hard thing. It's all a college football. This is not just the players. It's the coaches, too. Oh, I don't get along with this head coach. I'm off the staff. I'm looking for the next job halfway through the season. Like, all this shit is, like, so disgusting at all times to me. You know what I'm saying? It's, I don't know, man. I'm just a curmudgeon.
No. But, see, I'm with you, right? Because I felt like that with Sam McCall. You know what I mean? I felt like Sam McCall came in, was a quote-unquote five-star.
Yeah,
and he thought he was going to just get the job. And he didn't. Players played better than him. I don't look around and feel like, boy, we really needed Sam this year. I hope these people ain't in here listening. So I'm going to talk about your son a little bit. I don't ever think he was a true five star.
Yeah.
That was my opinion from the beginning. And the reason why I say that is because five stars can't be hidden. You can't hide a Jalen Ramsey, LaMarcus Joyner, Timmy Jernigan with five stars.
Right.
There was no way possible you were going to not have them on the field. Here's the other thing that I looked at when people was like, oh no, you know, Sam was being mistreated and all sorts of stuff, and Sam was talking about himself being mistreated. Dog, this was a crucial year for Mike Norvell. Mike Norvell came in this season firmly on the hot seat. I think everybody knew that. Mike knew that. So if Sam McCall could play, you don't think he'd have been like, yo, why ain't Sam on the field? Like, it's going to help you win. If in fact, he thought he would help him win games. I'm not looking around and saying, oh, Sam McCall got a raw end. Sam McCall came in with a little bit of entitlement, with a little bit of privilege, and therefore decided that he didn't have to give the same level of effort, which is why his players, his teammates, all hung that orange jersey in his locker room and all gathered around and said, you were the problem.
Yeah, but, you know.
Not one ally? You didn't have not one ally who came in.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this, though. I mean, who knows? Like, who knows what was said to him? Who know? Like, I heard.
You still got to work.
You know what, though? I don't want to get into all that.
They lie, dog. They lie.
But, okay, but the coaches, though, but I'm saying, though, where we at in college football in this day and age, you can't lie to these kids because they're out of your program in a year. They're out of your program in 8 months.
But so here's the thing. If I lie to five-star Sam McCall and tell Sam, boy, you every bit you the best thing since sliced bread.
Right.
You come here, don't play.
Right.
I've lied to him. But it's still up to Sam to go out here and prove that I am every bit of what I told you were.
Right,
and what I'm saying is those two things didn't happen. It still takes both sides to do it.
But my problem is I'm not trying to take nobody's side. My point is with all of this stuff is it's all ugly behind the scenes. All this shit with these kids and these coaches is all ugly because these coaches are just as full of shit as these kids are. You know what 100%. I'm saying? Then people get mad because, oh, the kids being so super emotional. Well, damn, you're a grown ass man. It is your job to manage the football team, the personalities on that football team. That is what coaching is. But because you don't have to deal with the kid like that anymore, it's like a lot of the personal touch is kind of gone a little bit. So coaches are not stuck with their 85-man roster anymore. Kids are not stuck to their 7 to 10 position coaches anymore, right? Everybody got all this freedom of movement and flow, and then these people got newspapers and media groups that can write their side of the story to make them look better and make you look worse. And, like, it's all just ugly as fuck, all of it.
You've never sounded older in your life.
But I'm just saying, it is, though. It is. It's just a fact.
You right. But you sound like the dude, hey, man, get off my lawn. You sound like the old dude. You are 100%. Again, I'm not.
It's disgusting work. It's disgusting work. Because you got people, like, and I told somebody this. I got, like, a little cousin. All right. He's a pretty good defensive back. You know, he can recruit or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I don't took him on a couple of little. A visit here and a visit there, talk to, you know, he tell me certain stuff coaches say, and I tell him, I say, well, that coach gonna get fired, that coach don't run the scheme that you like or that you need to be in, you know what I'm saying? But eventually he's gonna make a decision on where he want to go at, you know what I'm saying? And the thing I'm gonna tell him is kind of the same thing Rob DeLoach told his son. Hey, go wherever you want to go, but when your ass get there, go to work, because your ass ain't leaving.
Understand that's the difference, right?
But I'm saying,
because
the
Kalen DeLoach that came into Florida State is not the same Kalen DeLoach we see today. That shows you Kalen DeLoach worked his ass off to get here,
right? But the point is, though, my whole point is, it's like all of college football, all of this shit is so disgusting at a lot of different points. And now it's even more discussion now because you got fans basically pitching money in to get these players. So now these fans feel even more emboldened to talk shit about these players when these players do the thing they want them to do or be the way they want them to be. And, you know, it just creates a very toxic, negative culture within the sport, in my opinion. But at the same time, you know, I love college football. I think I'm always going to love watching college football. But I will say that some of this stuff just comes off just very nasty. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think grown men, 35-year-old, 40-year-old men should have such a hard opinion on 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds that's trying to figure it out. Because I know, you know, when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, you know, I was trying to figure things out too. And, you know, you don't stay at the same job. Shit, for 4 years when you come out of high school, you don't be doing the same thing after 3 years when you come out of high school. You make terrible decisions. So, you know, I'm just saying, I don't like where college football is at sometimes. It pisses me off.
I'm with you.
You know.
I'm 1,000% with you.
So, and I don't think a kid becomes a five-star unless they want to work. And I don't think a kid becomes a top 250 player unless they've put in a lot of hard work. Done a lot of free labor to get there. You know what I'm saying? That's not a lazy kid, right?
I'm not saying lazy. I'm saying
I'm reading from the comments, and I'm saying that's not a lazy kid. Now,
I'm not saying
kid buy into what you selling? I think that's the bigger part of it. Now, you got to find a guy that's like minded. The thing about the NFL is. The player is already bought in because he's a professional. This is his job. He's already bought in. Now there are levels, right? There are maniacs like Tom Brady, maniacs Aaron Donald. There are maniacs of commitment, right? Then there's guys that profession that get up at 6, work out, be done by, you know, 4 or whatever, do their job. So a coach don't have to come in and ask for commitment. He don't have to come in and ask you to buy in. You either buy in or you find another fucking job. Or I'm gonna force you out of here, right? That's the NFL, right? So you, like, when I always find it funny when people be like, oh, that kid, this dude lazy. An NFL player is lazy. He ain't making a play because he lazy. Well, you know, Josh Allen ain't lazy. He just probably ain't good enough, right? I don't think it's an effort thing with Josh Allen. I think he's not good enough right now. And he's not, you know, until he get better, then he's going to be doing bad stuff. But I think in college, you take an impressionable mind. You got to remember that. You're taking an 18-year-old from his house. It's an impressionable mind. So you're taking that kid, and now you're trying to put him into a culture to get him to work and do the things you want him to do. A lot of that does become about coaching, does become about the infrastructure of your program, right? So, you know, honestly, you know, when kids leave a program, I don't really hate the coach for it. I don't really hate the player for it no more. I just kind of feel like everybody just need to do what's best for them, you know? Because everybody's accountable for what you do, right? Because if you can sit on a bench or not play because a coach has a personal vendetta against you, and that does happen. Coaches have vendettas, and a coach don't want to play you. Your position coach don't want to play you, or he badmouths you to the head coach constantly, and you don't play. You going to sit there for 3 years and just not play? You know, you had a short window to make the most of your career.
Yeah.
So maybe you need a fresh start somewhere.
I'm going to push back a little bit. Work ethic is a thing. Everybody don't have a strong work ethic. Everybody, like, you work on a job, Sam. And you have, and that don't make them lazy. It just don't have the same drive and motivation you got. You work with people who come in and they going to half-ass it. They're going to collect that same paycheck you collect at the end of the day when you're doing all the work. Those people exist. And those people exist at 18. So I'm not going to say the kid is lazy. And again, I want to be very clear. We're no longer speaking about Sam McCall. We're talking in general at this point. There are kids who come in and just don't have the work ethic. Right. They've been told, and I've known this just because I know, again, I've coached these kids, these same grade kids. So there are kids who have been told they were hot shit from the time they stepped on the football field at 5 and 6 years old. They were bigger, stronger, and faster than everybody they ever went up against. And so as they got older, they were still bigger, stronger, and faster than everybody they went up against. And they become a high school recruit, and they five-star. And then now they're still, you know, being talked about as if they hot shit, and they get invited to the Under Armour All-American game, and they get cocky. And now, if they've never had that work ethic because they've never had to work for it, they're not going to get to college and all of a sudden flip a switch and decide they're going to work for it. Those kids exist. I'm not talking from Sam McCall. I'm talking from kids I know.
No, I get that. But I'm saying, I think when you're talking about a top 1% of high school football players, which is like what makes up the 250 and the 500 kids, I don't think those kids got there by entitlement. I just don't.
No, they didn't get there by entitlement. They got there by talent.
Right. But I'm saying when you talk about...
But they don't mean they necessarily worked hard to get it. I'm telling you, I know kids who are currently being recruited who have very little to piss poor work ethic. They are elite. They were God-given, born with elite level talent. So if you line them up on the football field, they're going to be better than the dude in front of
okay,
them.
Okay, but
it
do
ain't
you
gonna
think
because again, a lot of them high school kids are not going to college to play football.
Do you think
it's
a lazy,
lot of them kids? Who,
do you think a lazy football player gets to Georgia?
Yes.
I don't think that's true.
I'm not speaking from an opinion.
I don't think that's true.
I'm speaking from I know a lazy kid in Georgia.
You think a lazy kid gets to play for Kirby
yes.
Smart?
I don't believe that. Yes, because if you are going off the fact that he is the number two defensive end in the country,
you think Kirby Smart?
I'm not saying Kirby specifically. I'm talking in. I'm not calling anybody. No, I'm not saying a team. I'm not saying anything. I am saying specifically, there is 100% kids who are lazy, who have never had to work at being great at football.
I don't think you get to these Power Five schools and you're a lazy. I just don't believe that, man.
I'm telling you, kids who I've coached, kids who I've seen, and kids who are currently being recruited right now, who absolutely do not have a strong work ethic. And again, I'm just telling you, define
your levels of work ethic, because everybody, what you might consider work, what some people might consider,
I'm saying kids who don't practice. I'm saying kids who show up in practice and half-ass it and then get to the game and ball out because they are bigger, stronger, faster than everybody in front of them. And so, therefore, when the game time comes, they look good. And those kids are being currently recruited by Florida State, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Mississippi State, and everywhere else. I'm telling you.
I don't think Kirby Smart, Ohio State, background searches when they do backgrounds of these kids will allow them to take a kid like that and put up their football program. Okay. I just don't believe that.
Okay. Look at the comment, man. I'm telling you.
They can say that as much as they want. I don't believe that. Maybe you end up at an HBCU.
Nope.
But you ain't end up at no Georgia.
Okay. I'm gonna paint a picture. I'm gonna paint a picture for you.
You ain't gonna half-ass your way to Alabama, bro. It's just no way, bro. They taking top tier kids, bro. There's no way. There's no way. You have to work to get good.
No, you don't. See, that's what I'm saying. Okay. So you don't. There are kids who did not work.
You have to lift weights. You have to run. You have to get fast. You have to lift weights, man. You have to practice. You don't walk out of the bed, walk onto a football field, and just decide, oh, you know what, I'm better, faster. Like that kid ends up at a warehouse talking about how fast and strong and fast he was.
But he won't end up at the warehouse. That's
where that kid ends up at.
He's gonna end up at the warehouse through Alabama. Alabama is gonna filter him out. Florida State is gonna filter him out because that's where the first time he's gonna have to work.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? The first time he's gonna have to work is when he gets to college, and he is not, and it's gonna take him by storm because he's never had to work before. I promise you,
it's not true. It's not. I'm sorry, y'all. It's just not true.
Listen,
it's not true. You don't become
slightly different at slightly diff B and at more life one. Y'all tell that man that don't give him no names. But I got a lot again when I'm talking to Sam. I'm running through names in my head of people. I'm running through current recruits right now of kids who I know when they get it is going to be a rude awakening. And I pray they develop that work and they decide they're going to get it. But right now, they don't have it, and they are going to struggle.
I think work ethic is different depending on the kid.
I'm not talking about work ethic.
No. You saying not working. You saying...
I'm saying, woke up like this.
This is like what Anthony Edwards said when he was talking about working out for the Warriors. And he said he ran through his drills, right? They said, all right, run through these drills. He ran through the drills, right? They said, okay, we need you to run through the drill again. So he ran through the drill again. They said, all right, we need you to run through the drill again. So he said he ran through the drill again, right? He was like, you know, they were like, hey, now you're starting to miss shots. What's going on? He was like, I'm tired. He said this drill went on for an hour, right? Mm-hmm. This one drill went on for like an hour. Mm-hmm. And they told him, they say, Kevin Durant can do this drill for almost 2 to 3 hours and still continuously make shots doing this drill, right? So he was like, oh, that's a different level of work to be a perennial all-star NBA player, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the knock on Anthony Edwards coming out of college was what? He was so athletic, so strong, so fast, he wasn't a hard worker. That's what people kept saying about him, right? And they came and said, nah, he is a hard worker. He just has never pushed his body past a certain limit before, right?
But I'm not talking about that person.
Okay.
I'm not talking about a player who's willing to work. I'm talking about a player who has never worked.
This is my point, though. This is my point, Bobby, saying this, right? They was calling Anthony Edwards lazy. This was a knock on him going into the NBA draft, that he was lazy. And so when he was answering the question after his rookie year, because he got rookie of the year, they were like, how did you get rookie of the year? And they kept calling you lazy. He said, no, y'all definition of lazy is different than the definition of lazy in the NBA, right?
I'm talking the true definition of lazy, Sam.
No, you talking about y'all trying to pretend people can fake it to a high level of athletics. That's just not true.
I'm not saying they can fake it to anything. I'm telling you, they are born athletic. There are certain players. There's a 6'7". If you are 6'7", 225 pounds, and you are built with you eat right or whatever it is, and you got a decent body structure, you are going to dominate high school kids. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get on college coaches' radars, right? And you know who's going to be on those radars? Alabama, Georgia, whatever it is. You may not have ever run, you may not have ever worked with a dude after practice. You never worked with anybody. Your routes are terrible. You absolutely have absolutely nothing to improve your skill set, and you will still go out there and get a whole bunch of yards in high school. Put you on a roster. Put you on the team radar.
I'm finna end this conversation.
You will flame out.
I'm finna end this conversation. When you go to Alabama, before you go to Alabama, how do you get a scholarship there?
The coach sees you.
Where he see you at?
In high school.
No, that's not how Alabama offer you. How do – how? Okay.
They're gonna see him in, you're right. They're going to see him in middle school where going to be even more dominant.
No. When – before you get a offer, a scholarship offer at Alabama or Clemson or Jimbo Fisher or Kirby Smart – where do you have to go to get that offer from?
The campus.
Camps. Why do the coach want you to come to camp?
Oh, that's not it. That's that is definitely not the answer. If you think they can't, okay. They're going to dominate in camp. All right. They're going to, athletic. You look good in camp. They will look amazing in camp. I'm not talking about the kid who... The kids I'm speaking about will look amazing at everybody's camp. Don't change what I'm saying.
Bro, they put those kids through the gauntlet at them camps, bro. You think you're going to go in that shit out of shape, just jump out of bed and go to Alabama camp?
I didn't say it was out of shape. I didn't say it was out of shape.
You think you're just jumping out of bed, just go out there, just get comfortable? Okay. You know, that's even like somebody put in the chat. Hold on, I'm going to go to this name real quick. Somebody put this in the chat. Jamarcus Russell. He said, you think Jamarcus Russell is an outlier, right? As far as hard work, right? Go listen to Jamarcus Russell talk about working. Listen to the coaches talk about, listen to Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, and those coaches talk about Jamarcus Russell the way his work ethic was, right?
I don't know if Jamarcus Russell's a good example. Jamarcus Russell was just bad. There's folks right now there are NFL quarterbacks right now who don't work.
Okay. All right, man. All right. Y'all trying to tell me professional athletes.
I mean, we can continue to go back and forth, but I'm telling you, you are incorrect.
Hold on, I'm gonna read this. Bama has not offered this kid yet. Right? He says Bama literally just offered this kid 6'7" middle schooler. Everybody throw out a bunch of offers, but I'm talking about that commendable offer. That offer that says, hey, you coming to Alabama. To get that offer, bro, you got to come in and work out.
Measurables. All them coaches are looking at the measurables, man. They think they are looking at the measurables. They're looking at how you perform against other kids, your size and age and grade. And they look at the numbers and say, all right, he's dope. And then you don't know very much about him. And you assume they're going to all say the right thing. They're going to practice well.
Man, Irvine say, don't go to camp. Y'all really want to talk about?
Urban Meyer quit recruiting a long time ago. I don't know if we want to use Urban. Again, there's not a lot of good examples that are being thrown in this chat right now. Urban Meyer wouldn't be one. But what I will say is this, man.
I'm gonna tell y'all something. I'm gonna tell y'all this. Hold on. Look at that. Carlos Williams, what did he do in the NFL? 5-star. First of all, Carlos Williams was an excellent athlete at FSU and was a hard worker. He just didn't have a position. I'm going to say this right here. Some people, right, need a system, right? So if you look at Carlos Williams, he got to the NFL, he was a good running back, right? Let him run straight ahead. But Carlos Williams wanted to play safety, all right? Terrence Brooks was a better safety than Carlos Williams. Right, he's still a better safety than Carlos Williams. He got to the NFL, he was a running back. He was a good running back in the NFL. He got busted for steroids and whatnot and got out of the NFL. Like, that's just how it works. He ate himself out the league. But he didn't get there being lazy. I think sometimes y'all think that you got to understand you're siphoning through a bunch of NFL players, a bunch of top athletes. Like, it's more than just having a work ethic. It's getting into a system. It's getting a coach that can put you in the right positions. Like, it's a lot of things that have to start off right. Like, people keep trying to say, like, even with Belichick, people keep saying, oh, Tom Brady carried Belichick. I'm like, Belichick drafted him in the sixth round. He developed him.
We got to figure out how to make phone calls on this thing, because I'm gonna start phoning a friend or something like that in these situations. Will you dig your heels in? Because I know for a fact. I want to show you because I want to like name names of kids who are currently on like who are going to good schools right now. I've coached them and I know what they do and how they operate.
They showed a video of Clay Devon Chason working out in the summer. Man, working his ass off. Man, got on the football field, can't do shit. You know why? He's just not good.
That's not the same. Again,
I'm just saying. You're not arguing the same thing.
I'm not arguing. We're not talking about hard workers who can't play. I'm telling you, there are players who can play who have never worked. That's what I'm telling you.
I just refuse to believe that. But okay. Right.
I know. It's a tough concept. I get it.
It's not. I know. I've been on teams with lazy people. I've been on teams with people that just wake up, go to the gym, and start playing. I'm telling you, man. When those high school coaches and these people that's around these that these colleges come talk to and ask them questions, they be like, that dude don't really love, you know.
And you know what they're gonna do? That kid ain't gonna look around, they're gonna be like, yeah, he don't love it, he don't do this, but they gonna look around and say, but he is 6'7", 370 pounds.
We in the weeds on this conversation. Right?
We are. You wanna touch on Deion before we go, just to piss some people off or no?
What about Deion?
We all over an hour.
What thing about Deion?
You want to talk about Deion?
How do you feel about Deion
taking that Colorado?
See, look at this. This man say, come on, man. He ain't developed Brady. See what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about?
I love this part, man.
Belichick just over there, just relaxing over there. Brady developing himself over there.
Brady been out there working his ass off by himself, man. In spite of Belichick, I'm with it. Yeah.
Hold on. You say Shaq is an example. If Kobe called him lazy, he admitted it. Shaq was lazy compared. What the hell?
Kanye is taking over the pod.
But Shaq was called lazy compared to the work ethic that Kobe had. Right or wrong?
Nobody had the work ethic Kobe had.
Exactly. So
Kobe's going to call everybody lazy.
He called a lot of people lazy.
Everybody lazy compared to Kobe. Everybody's going to be lazy compared to Kobe. LeBron, who we know is probably one of the hardest workers, we see his because they all filmed. He don't work as hard as Kobe. Kobe was a ridiculous person. I don't know if these are good examples. I have heard Shaq say he wasn't working nearly as hard as whatever it is.
He wasn't working as hard as Kobe.
I'm not talking about Shaq's. Even though Shaq is a decent example because he was bigger, stronger, and faster than everybody else, but Shaq did have to.
I think when you're having these correlation conversations about top athletes, there's levels to work ethic. There's levels to work ethic. That's my whole point. Man, this is ridiculous. There's levels to work ethic. That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying, I know for a fact they're not lazy. When you get to that level now,
and I know for a fact, but they then are lazy.
There's a different level of work. Like the 2013 team would tell you that
Sam, we're not arguing different levels of work. I know what you're saying. There are different levels. The Kobe and Shaq, I feel, are different levels of work. That's not what I'm talking about.
You're not becoming a professional. I am talking about. You're not becoming a professional. You're not going to be a starter on a college football team. A college football team.
We currently have them on our team.
And on this high level P5 football, and you're lazy. Oh. You may not work like the hardest worker ever, but you ain't lazy.
So that we can wrap this, I'm gonna say shout out to Deion, man, for taking that job over at Colorado and leaving them dirty ass facilities at Jackson State. No, I'm just playing. No, for real though, man. Shout out to Deion, man. I'm glad he's gotten on to the next level. I'm really sad that it's really caused a lot of divide, you know what I mean, amongst HBCUs, amongst the culture, really, because I think we all knew from the beginning Deion was looking for a Power 5 job. So I guess I'm surprised where everybody else is surprised that Deion took a Power 5 job.
So. You know, I don't know. I really got not a whole lot to say about that because I just kind of feel like Twitter is just a cesspool at times. And I think if you pull
I wish I had a belt. I do. 1,000 lashes from Deion.
I think people just want to be mad sometimes. But I think if you pull back the curtain and ask the athletic director at JSU, I think they'll tell you that the being in the Deion Sanders business over the last 3 years was good for that school and it was good for the HBCU.
Period.
So, you know, I just think people
he raised it again. We the floor, he brought awareness, he did it like they got exposure, they got a deal. Dog, now take it and take it somewhere else. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think, in my opinion, this is me a little bit on the rant. I think had it went a little differently, you could have actually had Deion still championing for Jackson State and HBCUs, had y'all, you know, congratulated him on the way out as opposed to saying, we told you what, sweat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
dog. You know what I mean? He brought exposure to places that wasn't, you know, that really wasn't getting a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of exposure. I think he, again, man, just Jacksonville had an HBCU game here for the first time since I was in high school. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, that's just my opinion.
Oh man, you know what? I'm gonna put that article in the chat. Well, I'm gonna put it in the comment section, and y'all can read the article if y'all so do want to. About I'm going to find it for you. Hold on.
Well, I got to be out of pocket. What I did?
Ain't nobody swag.
What I did? I ain't said nothing. How am I
out of pocket? But, man, I really appreciate everybody on the pod. I want to get back to trying to do these weekly. It's kind of tough. My co-host here does have a baby. So I'm working on some things. I'm gonna see what I can do. See if I can get this part done.
Yeah, I should be again. I keep saying it. We said it a lot. Man.
Can't be.
We're gonna steal the time over here. You know what I mean? We're gonna steal the time. He quiet now, so I miss me. He sleep. You know what I mean? So hey, I'm gonna take the opportunity to do it. And we were supposed to do it. I think 2 days ago, I got home. I fell asleep.
I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I'm not gonna wear a Colorado hat because I only root for one P5 team.
yeah,
man, I'm done, man. OSHA crazy, man.
And it looked Aaron, like I'm the, gonna say that. Go ahead.
It looked like the winner of the college football pickings was my boy Tay. Tay Hunter was the winner of college football pickings, bro. So if you DM me your information, man, I'll try to get you something. Gotcha.
I was so bad in fantasy football. Because
you never did it. Well, you never did the pick'ems. You just
no. The pick'em, I didn't do it. I would have won them. But
no, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't have. The fantasy football though was boy. Whew.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah.
I did. Anyway. How about I started Trevor Lawrence last week? Trevor Lawrence gets me 30 something, and Reggie somehow still beat me.
Yeah, you suck.
It's bad. It's bad. I hit this street.
But all right, man, this was a great pod, great episode. It's good to have y'all all back in here, man. Got to 100, man. Make sure y'all share the pod. Go to Apple, man. Find us on Apple. Find us on Spotify. Please subscribe, Apple. Greatest 5 stars.
Hit that button, man. We're trying to hit 1,000 before the season starts next year, man. Before the season
we do need to hit 1,000.
We need to be at 1,000.
Yeah, we need 1,000 subscribers. We need to get on there. I got to work with it. Somebody said we need to do every week. I'm going to try to get back every week. I got to get with Nikki on so we do the show at What's Next. Talk about big time college football. I'm going to get back. We're going to get back, fake people. But we out.
We out.
You just heard the Listen Up podcast. Yeah. Yeah.